You're listening to the Save the Marriage Podcast. Your marriage can be saved and strengthened if you have the right information. Join Dr. Lee Baucom as he explores ways for you to improve your relationship and your life, starting right now.
Welcome to the Save the Marriage Podcast. This is the podcast designed to help you save and improve your marriage no matter where you are, no matter what's going on. Today, I want to talk about how your pain and your hurt from what's going on in your relationship can actually hold you back and keep you stuck. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because a lot of times I see people who just are frozen. You know, they don't want to be in this stuck marriage, but they're so frozen by the pain and by the hurt that they can't take action. They find themselves immobilized. And so what I've noticed is that there really are five key ways that the pain and the hurt can keep you stuck. The first one is it keeps you in the blame frame. Now, when we're hurt, when we're in pain, when we feel like we have been done wrong, we stay at this point of pointing the blame out. And because of that, we're stuck in this blame frame, a frame of understanding that we have to find the responsibility and the blame outside of ourselves. And so we basically say, hey, you hurt me, so this is your bad, and I'm going to put the blame on you. And that keeps us frozen. Which leads us to the second piece, which is reactive protection. Reactive protection is that kind of defensive stance. You kind of think of it, if someone comes up and they hit you, you probably step back, and even if you don't hit them back, you're kind of in a guarded place. You're kind of keeping up your hands and you're protecting yourself, and that's a reactive protection. You're trying to protect yourself in reaction to what's happened. Now, it's more about the reaction to the perception of what's happened than reality. And that leads us to the next piece, which is reactive aggression. Not only are we in a protective mode, but sometimes we strike back, right? It's at that place where it's a tit for tat, and you hurt me, so I'm going to hurt you. And I see a lot of damage done this way, where somebody's feeling hurt, somebody's feeling in pain. And so what do? They inflict their own pain. And all that does is it ramps up the whole place of destruction in the relationship and leads to something else. Number four, the negative outlook. Because then it kind of tempers everything. You know, you kind of have this overall feeling that things aren't going well. It's interesting how our perception is so tempered by sometimes these external events. When something goes well, we end up with a positive outlook. But when something's going badly, when we're hurt, when we're feeling the pain, then we get into a negative place. We get into a negative outlook, and it casts a shadow over the whole relationship, not just about that one piece that's there. And what does that lead to? Well, that leads to number five, resentment. So what is resentment? Well, resentment, as I understand it, is that it's anger that's not been processed, and it becomes kind of a poison to the system. So what is anger? Well, anger is our external reaction to internal hurt. And so when we're in pain, when we're hurt, it kind of evolves itself into pain, into anger, right? We feel that outward thrust of anger. And sometimes we direct that towards the other person, and it keeps that other person at a distance. But oftentimes what we find is we don't have a resolution to the anger. Maybe you're afraid to express your anger because of what it might undo to the relationship, and so you just hold on to it. And that keeps you locked in, and then that lock-in place of anger becomes resentment. Think of it like this. The hurt, something happens, right? And you perceive that hurt, and it's kind of like if something happens and it hits you and causes some damage to your tissue. Now, what happens after that? Well, it hurts, right? There's a damage, but then our area around it kind of begins to be angry. We talk about the angry wound. You know, it gets red and it raises up, and it shows a lot of really red, angry responses in the body. Well, if that's not dealt with, you know, if we don't wash it off, if we don't clean it up, we don't put some ointment on it, then it might become an infection in the body and spread throughout the body. So instead of it just being about that one piece, that one injury, it becomes a whole bodily reaction. Well, the same thing happens when somebody hurts you psychologically, relationally. When they hurt you, the first thing that happens is there's this place of hurt. It really, you know, feels hurt. And then it kind of bubbles out. And sometimes that reaction we have is that anger coming out. But if it's not dealt with, then it begins to poison everything. And it's not just about that. So maybe you have a spouse who said something and hurt your feelings. And that hurt feeling, maybe you expressed anger, or maybe you just held that anger in. But over time, then it began to poison everything about what your spouse said. And it began to enlarge and create a systemic poison to the system. So those are the ways that your pain and your hurt keep you stuck. It puts you in a blame frame, which leads you in a reactive protection or even a reactive aggression. And then it creates a negative outlook for you for the relationship and leads to deep resentment on your part. And then we begin to play some games. And this is where we really create some damage. One of the games that many people play is the I deserve game. You know, I deserve to be treated better, or I deserve for you to be nice to me. Now, I'm not going to challenge whether other people ought to be nice and whether other people ought to treat us well. But I want to really look at that I deserve piece, because I deserve peace is somehow embedded in the I'm not getting what is coming my way. There's some balance that's missing. And so when we get into that I deserve game, we can play that in so many ways. Now, let me say very clearly that it's not okay for somebody to be constantly causing damage to you. And that's not what we're talking about here. What we're talking about here is, how do you decide to move beyond these things? How do you decide to move beyond incidents? Because I'm pretty convinced that when you put two people together, as close as they are in proximity to a marriage, no matter how nice they are, no matter how careful they are, they're going to hurt each other's feelings. Nice people have difficult marriages because there's no way not to be in that intimate place without creating some painful places. And so when we play out this I deserve piece, really we load up the what's coming my way, what's not fair. And this leads to a me the victim game. That's the second game, the me the victim game, where we begin to see that we're kind of a country song. Somebody's done me wrong repeatedly, repeatedly, repeatedly. Somebody's done me wrong. I'm the victim here. Can't you see that I'm the one who's been hurt by that? And that leads us to another game, the why should I? If you're not going to be nice to me, why should I be nice to you? If you're going to do those things to me, why should I do anything decent to you? If you're going to be mean, why should I be nice? If you're not going to talk to me, why should I talk to you? If you're not going to connect with me the way I want you to connect, why should I connect with you in the ways you want to connect? And on the game goes. And slowly we begin to build bigger and bigger walls around ourselves. And what it misses is some true pieces of reality. One is that in a marriage, these ways we react to each other are really about dance steps that we've learned. We forget that. And part of what that ends up being is that instead of looking at the whole dance, of how we're having a whole dance with our spouse, we only look at our spouse's dance steps. We don't notice our own place where we played into that. What's always been interesting to me as I've been doing therapy is where people tell me a story of what happened. And then a spouse will say, well, there's more to that story. And they tell me a little bit further back. And then the other person says, well, there's more to that story. And they tell me a little bit further back. And what I realized is we all often fall into the trap where the story we're telling starts where we're innocent. And it makes the other person into the bad guy. We forget that there are some steps that came before that. We forget that there were some painful events before that. We forget that there was something that we were doing in the interchange before that, and we only look at what the spouse is doing. And that's part of where we get into the stuck place. Because while we're keenly aware of the pain and the hurt of ourselves, sometimes we miss the fact that we've been a part of the pain and the hurt of the relationship and of a spouse. See, I have a really deeply held belief that people do the best they can where they are. Now, that's not to say that everybody is at an optimal level of performance, but that they are doing the best they can where they are right now. What they understand about the world around them, what they understand about you, what you understand about your spouse, how people understand the world, it determines how they respond in the world. And they're doing the best they can. I've never had someone come into my office and say, you know what, I'm really just not pulling my weight. I'm really just not doing the things I ought to be doing. Every time somebody's in my office heartbroken that they're doing the best they can and they can't get forward in their life, in their relationship, in their job, with their kids, over and over I hear it. And yet they're doing everything they can. because I believe that people really do the best they can. Now, that doesn't mean that they're not doing destructive behavior, and it doesn't mean that they're not acting in ways that are kind of subpar for what might be helpful. But where they are right now, what's going on in their life right now, it really is the best they can do. And that leads to this interesting little thing that we often do. It's called the attribution error. According to social psychologists, the attribution error is this. If I do something wrong, it's a mistake. If you do something wrong, there's a personality flaw in you. In other words, we are quick to let ourselves off the hook. You know, I did that because, and we fill in the blank of the reason, or I just made a mistake. But if somebody else did the exact same thing, we would believe that they are psychopaths or sociopaths, or that they are somehow crazy, or that they are so malformed, or how could they possibly be in a relationship with us? And basically what we do is we let ourselves off the hook while we're setting the hook deeper and deeper into the other person. Well, that comes into play with this because we miss those steps where we might have been a part of the painful incident that happened. And so when we're caught in our pain and when we're caught in our hurt, we stop interacting in ways that are helpful. So what can you do? One is commit to forgive. And part of what this requires is that you understand what forgiveness is about. Forgiveness is not about letting the other person off the hook. It's not about saying there's nothing wrong with what happened. It's choosing to move forward. It's choosing to let go so that you don't have to carry that around. When we decide not to forgive, it's because we decide to hold on to the pain, to latch on to the hurt, to somehow hold on to that in some misunderstood way as if it's going to protect us, as if it's going to help things along, instead of understanding that not forgiving only keeps us tied to those painful events and keeps us tied to a story that probably is only partly true. And probably needs to be let go just so that we can move forward. This is not about the other person. This is about how you can let go and move forward. I've got links in the show notes about where you can find more about that forgiveness process. But the first thing you've got to understand is that forgiveness is for you. So you don't have to carry around that hurt and that pain. So the second thing is to then work on being empathetic. Once we get to that place of forgiveness, then we suddenly can be a bit more empathetic with the other person. And this is when we begin to understand that they really are doing the best they can where they are. When we get to the place where we are beginning to see that they are doing the best they can, we've stepped into empathy. And when we do that for ourselves, we stepped into a self-empathy, where we can understand ourselves, where we fall short and begin to work to improve it, and where we can understand where the other person falls short and give them some room to be human. That the humanity of us all is falling short. And to be able to say, hey, they're doing the best they can. I'm doing the best I can. Now let's see if we can move forward together. The third thing is to then claim your own role when it's applicable. Now, let me say clearly that there are times when people truly are the victim, that they have done nothing to deserve the behavior, that they have done nothing. They are completely victimized. Somebody walking down the street in broad daylight is attacked. They didn't ask for that. Somebody is in a public place and somebody else starts shooting. That person didn't ask for it. They just happen to be there. So there are times when we are innocently involved and innocently hurt. But there are other times when we have to step back and say, how was I a part of this process? In what way did I set in motion some pieces, or in what way did I continue in motion the pieces that led to me being hurt? This is about claiming your role only when it's applicable, but when it is applicable, to be able to claim that role and accept that there was a place for you in that dance, that the dance had steps before you're talking about them in the story you're telling about your pain and your hurt now. And that leads to number four. And number four is to then take on responsibility to move forward. And I say that as two pieces, to take on responsibility to move forward. Sometimes in our culture, we've confused responsibility with blame. Responsibility is the ability to respond. If you just look at the word, it's the ability to respond. And we all have that ability to respond. So responsibility, how can I take responsibility for us to move forward? Is the freeing question Once we've been able to say, I'm going to forgive this other person, and I'm going to understand their human place, that they fall short and I fall short, and then I'm going to claim whatever place of role I need to claim, then the next step is to say, how can I take on responsibility to move forward? Now, responsibility is very different than blame. Blame is pointing the finger, trying to say, this is your fault. Responsibility is, how can I act to move this in a different direction? Not how can I react, but how can I act in a different way? I have a belief that there's always a choice. We always have choices, whether it's even in our just our attitude, but we have a choice in our attitude or our actions about how we're going to move forward. And so responsibility is the ability to respond differently and take it to a new place. You can also see where we've got some links to other resources about taking responsibility. But for me, that is a central piece in stepping away from pain and hurt and not allowing the pain and the hurt to keep you captured. It's to say, you know what? I'm not going to allow myself to be wallowing in that, to be stuck by that. I'm not going to deny it hurt, but I'm going to find a way through it. And I'm going to find a way to move forward and not play those games, not play the games of I deserve, me the victim, and why should I? But how can I move forward in a commitment to forgive by finding empathy for the other person, to claim my own role in that process if it's applicable, and then take a responsibility to move us forward? When we do that, we're no longer captured by the pain or the hurt. This is Lee Balcom wishing you the best as you work to save your marriage.
You've been listening to Save the Marriage Podcast. For more information and help, please visit us at SaveTheMarriage.com.